Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are in the room, for those that are listening on the phone, also on the radio, and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing to each and every one of your precious souls. We are going to begin our children's Sabbath school lesson on this Sabbath, May 13, 2017. This is lesson 230, chapter 50, entitled Among Snares. Our opening song is a scripture song taken from the book of Psalms 40, verse 8. And it comes also with the second part of the song. And it goes like this. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Many are the wonders thou hast done. There is none to compare with thee. Fill my heart with thy loving kindness. Breathe on me breath of the living God. How I long to see thy praises, how I love to praise thy holy name. How I long to see thy presence, how I love to bless thy holy name. Amen. If any one of the little ones, mommies and daddies, would like to have the opening prayer, bubble up.
If we may all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. O righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before you to give you all honor and praises, Lord Jesus, thank you for being a merciful God, a loving God, a forgiving God. Thank you for bringing us safely through the week, dear Father God. Thank you for all the blessings that were bestowed, big and small. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for calling our name, dear Father God, and for giving us yet another opportunity. Lord, I pray that you open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and let your Holy Spirit lead and guide us, help us to understand the words of which we are about to partake of your daily bread. Lord, I pray that you keep us humbly in your presence, dear Father God. Be your eyes and our ears. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to all the family that are joining us. Our opening scripture for our study today is taken from the book of John, chapter 7, verse 16, from the King James Version, and it reads, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled, Among Snares, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family, little ones, mommies and daddies, would like to take following verses, bubble up.
John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know in doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
John 7:18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.
John 7:19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? John 7:20. The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Continuing the reading, John 7:21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have gone one work, and ye all marvel. John 7:22. Moses therefore gave you you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the Father. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man.
John 7:23. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? John 7:24. Judge not accordingly to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Amen.
So today, dear ones, we'll be covering pages 455 through 456. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us at this very moment. Welcome, Brother Azariah. Praise the Lord. We are in Desired Ages, page 455.
Desired Ages, page 455. All the while Jesus was at Jerusalem during the feast, he was shadowed and by spies. Day after day, new scenes to silence him were tried. The priests and rulers were watching to entrap him. They were planning to stop him by violence. But this was not all. They wanted to humble this Galilean rabbi before the people. Desire of Ages, page 441, paragraph 1. 455.
Desire of Ages, page 455. On the first day of his presence at the feast, the rulers had come to him, demanding by what authority he taught. They wished to divert attention from him to the question of his right to teach, and thus to their own importance and authority. Desire of Ages, page 455, paragraph 2.
Amen.
Welcome to all our guests as well. We are so glad that you are here, able to join us. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. What were the priests and the rulers planning to do while watching to entrap Jesus? And what did the rulers come to him demanding about his teaching? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, pop it up.
They were planning to stop him by violence. But this was not all. They wanted to humble this Galilean rabbi before the people. And by that authority he taught, to divert attention from him to the question of his right to teach, and thus to their own importance and authority.
Desire of Ages, page 455. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. The question of these cavaliers Jesus met, not by answering the cavil, but by opening up truth vital to the salvation of the soul. The perception and appreciation of truth, he said, depends less upon the mind than upon the heart. Truth must be received into the soul. It claims the homage of the will. And there's on a slide there that says how to tell what is false in religious groups. John chapter 7, verse 17 through 18. If any man will do his that they're referencing is God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And on the bottom it says there, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I believe that is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5.
Zion of Ages, page 455. If truth could be submitted to the reason alone, pride would be no hindrance in the way of its reception. But it is to be received through the work of grace in the heart, and its reception depends upon the renunciation of every sin that the Spirit of God reveals. Man's advantages for obtaining a knowledge of the truth, however great these may be, will prove of no benefit to him unless the heart is open to receive the truth and there is a consciousness surrender of every habit and practice that is opposed to its principle.
To those who thus yield themselves to God, having an honest desire to know and to do His will, the truth is revealed as the power of God for their salvation. These will be able to
distinguish
between him who speaks of God and him who speaks merely from himself. The Pharisees had not put their will on the side of God's will. They were not seeking to know the truth, but to find some excuse for evading it. Christ showed that his way why they did not understand his teaching.
Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and guests, does the truth depend more upon the mind than upon the heart? And what will those who yield themselves to God with an honest desire to know and do his will have? If you know the answer to the question, precious one, blah, blah.
No, it
depends. Get up.
Less upon the mind, for truth must be
received
into the soul. It
claims
the
homage
of the will, and the truth is viewed as the power of God for their
salvation.
He now gave a test by which the true teacher might be distinguished from the deceiver. He that speaketh for himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him the same is true. And no unrighteous is in him. John 7:18. He that seeketh his own glory is speaking only from himself. The spirit of self-seeking betrays its origin, but Christ was seeking the glory of God. He spoke the words of God. That was the evidence of his authority as a teacher from the truth.
On the slide, there is a picture. Not sure if you want to read it, dear sister. I can bubble down so you can continue to read it, or if not, I can go ahead and read it. Let me know. Okay, I'll go ahead and read it there. It says, Christ sought the glory of the Father.
John 8:50, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. To this end, was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Seek the truth. John 8.
Thank you so much, dear brethren. Question, boys and girls. What test was given by Jesus by which the true teacher might be distinguished from the deceiver? And was Christ seeking his own glory? And what evidence was given? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah.
He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him,
the same is true, and no unrighteousness is seen in him. And Christ was seeking the glory of God. He spoke the words of God. This was the evidence of his authority as a teacher of the truth. Amen.
Good job, everyone. So let us learn our first beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is also taken from the book of John. And it's a combination of 8, 6, and 7.
And say Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me, he is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The Father hath not left me alone, the living Father hath sent me, and all that and I seek a final glory, thereon I seek a death. He that speaketh of himself sees all glory, but he that seeketh his glory sent.
Desire of Ages, page 456. Jesus gave the rabbis an evidence of his divinity by showing that he read their hearts. Ever since the healing at Bethesda, they had been plotting his death. Thus they were themselves breaking the law which they professed to be defending. Did not Moses give you the law, he said, and yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Desire of Ages, page 456, paragraph 2. And on the side, reads, he read their hearts, and only God can read the heart of man.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Question, boys and girls. How did Jesus give the rabbi an evidence of his divinity? And what were they breaking as they had been plotting his death? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
By showing that he read the heart in you, says they were themselves breaking the law which they
professed
to be defending. You shall
thou
shall not kill. Thou shall no kill.
But it's supposed to say thou shalt not kill.
Desire of Ages, page 456. Like a swift flash of these words reveal of the rabbis, the pit of ruin into which they were about to plunge. For an instant they were filled with terror. They saw that they were in conflict with the infinite power, but they would not be warned. In order to maintain their influence with the people, their murderous designs must be concealed. Evading the question of Jesus, they exclaimed, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. They insinuated that the wonderful works of Jesus were instigated by an evil spirit. And on this side, It reads at the top, the voice of the Lord revealed to the rabbis the pit of the ruin into which they were about to plunge.
Question, boys and girls, what was revealed to the rabbis by the words of the Savior like a swift flash of light? And did the rabbi have the change of heart with this warning? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
Answer is the pit of ruin into which they were about to plunge. For an instant, they were filled with terror. They saw that they were in conflict with infinite power, and no in order to maintain their influence with the people. Their murderous designs must be concealed by the same thou hast the devil. Desire of Ages, page 156. To this insinuation Christ gave no heed. He went to show that his work of healing at Bethesda was in harmony with the Sabbath law, and that it was justified by the interpretation which the Jews themselves put upon the law. He said, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Next slide, please.
Desire of Ages, page 456. According to the law, every child must be circumcised on the eighth day. So the appointed time fall upon the Sabbath, the rite must then be performed. How much more must it be in harmony with the spirit of the law to make a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? And he warned them to judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Desire of Ages, page 456, paragraph 4. And on the side stating, how much more must it be in harmony with the spirit of the law to make a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Like the man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John chapter 7, verse 24.
Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and also guests. How did Jesus show that his work of healing at Bethesda was in harmony with the Sabbath law and that it was justified by the interpretation which the Jews themselves put upon the law? And how did he also warn them? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, buckle up.
He said, Moses, therefore gave unto you
circumcision.
And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man.
Circumcise
a man. How much more must it be in harmony with the spirit of the law to make a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? And judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
So let's learn our last beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38.
Judge not and ye shall not be judged, condemn not and ye shall not be condemned, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Chapter 6, verse 37. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall it into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye need,
it shall be
given to you again.
Luke chapter 6, verse 30. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear ones, we have come to the ending of the first section of a children's Sabbath school lesson. And this is the section where we ask all the little precious ones to come very close because it's story time and our dear brother Dick will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time. And our story today says, he did not interfere with those in power. In other words, Jesus didn't get into politics. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or from here. John 18:36.
Legislative policy or whoever trying to be king of this world.
It's palaces and marketplaces. They expect him to rule through legal enactments or laws enforced by human authority. Since Christ is not now here in person, they themselves will undertake or try to act in his stead or in Jesus' place. The establishment of such a kingdom is what the Jews desired in the days of Christ. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus didn't vote or talk about problems in government and society. He dealt with sin and righteousness. Not because he was indifferent or uninterested to the woes of men, but because the remedy did not lie in merely human and external measures. Jesus knew that the problem was because people did not obey God's law. To be efficient, the cure must reach men individually, and must regenerate the heart. People need to give their hearts to the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a solemn verse, dear ones. Next week, we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled Among Snares in our study book, The Sigh of Ages. And I also want to be able to let everyone know the first opening song that we sung, there was a typo. It's supposed to be Psalms, not the book of John. And in the next presentation, the correction will be done, and also on the map, on one of the questions. So if any one of the little ones, mummies and daddies, would like to close with prayer, bubble up. If you all will allow me to be able to close with prayer, dear ones, if we can all bow our heads and our hearts as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises, Father Jesus, this beginning of this lesson has been something remarkable. While everybody is still waiting to see what Jesus is going to do for us to be able to get prepared, Jesus is waiting for us. As our Savior came to this world and he wanted to exalt whom they did not know, which was the Father, if the world need to know Jesus, we are the one that are responsible to be able to proclaim him. So we are delaying. Father Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for not proclaiming your name. And the only way we can do so is with our lives. Father, have mercy upon us. Give us the seal and the love of the truth in our heart, in our soul, that we can be able to boldly come before thee and not ask, but to be able to inquire, what can we do to be able to be saved? Not only the world, but ourselves. For we need to tread the ground first before we can be able to tell them the good news. Our Savior was tempted in the wilderness. He overcome everything. And he came back with a glorious news to tell us that we can overcome. We need to do the same. Help us to go through that wilderness experience, Savior. Help us that we can overcome every single thing that is becoming a stumbling block and a wall, that we may not be able to do the mission that you have called us to do. This world has gone to the place that they have gone because Christians are afraid to be able to proclaim you. So I pray, dear Lord, may you begin with us first, that we may be able to proclaim the word of God as we should. Only with Jesus and Jesus alone can be the only one to save the world. But if the world don't know Jesus, there's no salvation. But without Christ, we cannot come boldly to the throne of grace. Forgive us, dear Lord. Forgive us for not being prepared. Forgive us for not giving the time that we need to have to come boldly to the throne of grace and close ourselves and to ask what it is that we need to be able to be transformed into your character. Prepare the remnant people, Father Jesus, what is ahead. It is greater than any other time, for this is a time where the remnant will stand without a mediator. Therefore, we must be transformed to his likeness. And I will begin with me. Father, forgive me for not being prepared to be able to proclaim such a glorious life, which is your own. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. And as you have called us, Lord, help us to make our calling and election sure. Bless each of this precious little generation that is coming, Father Jesus. But prepare the parents that we may give them the tool that they may need that they may stand in such a terrible time. But without sadness or worries, we are here to say, praise God that you are the controller of all things, that we have nothing to worry about because we have the Godhead and the whole heavens to be able to help us in this mission. Forgive us, Father Jesus, for everything that we have done in this body, and help us to prepare a temple that you may inhabit it so we can become a sanctuary for you. It's my prayer this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So next week, dear ones, we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled Amon's Mirror in our study book, Desire of Ages. And that will be held by God's grace, dear ones, on Sabbath, May 20, 2017, part two. We have also prepared activity for the whole family to enjoy, that they may continue to discuss this beautiful lesson. It's so meaty. For these are for the people that was given a condition and a responsibility, but they failed to be able to see what the Lord was giving them so they can give the word. So we pray that we may be able to listen in this generation by God's grace. God bless each and every one of you, and have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath. And may the Lord continue placing the coal upon the altar on the speakers today, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.